What's up, what's up, what's up? That's right, y'all got it. It is Friday, Praise Break Friday, June 24th, 2016. And Take On Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have a wonderful show for you on today. Today's conversation, five ways to keep your worship fresh. Five ways to keep your worship fresh. And man, as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, who's way on the other side. I'm going to say way on the other side. He's just on the other side of the lake. Minister, Pastor Devon Winder. How are you this afternoon, sir?
Good. How's it going?
I'm good. See, oh man, we good. In case y'all didn't know, we doing the whole show remote today. That's right. Everybody's a part of the show is all chilling in different locations, but we are able to get it done. How's it going, bro? That was for you, Devon. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. I'm like, where are you?
I thought I had hit the mute button. So,
Yeah,
it's going pretty good. How's it going with you?
I'm good, man. Up here in Motown. I'm in Motown. What's going on? But it's all good. But look, let me give y'all a rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are already on the line, meaning you've already dialed in, you just push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. If you're on social media, so are we. You can go to facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And you can be a part of the show. If you want to tweet the show, that's simple to do. Simply go to Twitter and do a search, or actually type in the show's name. That's at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. You can definitely do that. We'd love to read your tweet over the air. If you want to email the show, TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. That's how we can email us. We'd be glad to read that email over the air as well. And last but not least, iTunes. If you want to download the podcast of the show, subscribe to our podcast, simply go to iTunes, do a search for the channel. The podcast channel, Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there. Everything is good. Man, whew, boy. This is, you know what, I'm not a fan of doing the shows remotely, but I was worried that we were going to have some connectivity issues. But, man, I believe we're okay. I believe we're okay.
Everything seems to be working.
We're gonna keep our hands, toes, and fingers crossed, and keep a constant prayer line open. And I think we're gonna be okay. I believe we're gonna be okay. Man, so what's going on, man? How was your Wednesday? We didn't get the storm they kept saying we were gonna get. But how was your Wednesday?
It was pretty good, actually. Yeah, because I don't think it rained until later that evening or something like that. But
right,
Wednesday was good. I was out taking care of some church business and getting some things done. So it's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah, we didn't get to go out on the street because they were afraid of the they were concerned that, you know, if we had everybody out on the street corner, that we wouldn't be able to if it got really bad, there would be no shelter for the people on the corner. So they decided to, you know, to be precautious and keep everybody indoors. So we didn't do our ministry on Wednesday, at least not out on the street corner, that is. So, but other than that, you know, everything else was good. So look here. Here's the thing, and I want to talk about something in the news real quick. Got a bunch of stuff. And Devon, I think I sent you I sent you some of the links. Oh, that's right. But I forgot your Facebook is still down. But I did send you the link for the article. But there's a bunch of things that's going on right now, and it's just crazy. So you know the Freddie Gray case. They've been slowly but surely prosecuting people in Baltimore. You guys remember the Freddie Gray case? He was the guy in Baltimore that was he was arrested and then thrown in the back of a truck. Back of a police wagon and handcuffed. And then as a result of not being strapped into a seatbelt and everything else, his spine or something was severed. And he ended up dying as a result of that. And the prosecutor in Baltimore, she decided to prosecute all of the police officers that were involved. Well, on yesterday, the driver of the police, of the
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is... Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me apologize already, because once again, this just lets you know, this is how I know it's not us, because see, we're not even in the studio. Nobody is in the studio back at home, and stuff kicked everybody out. We gonna get together. Trust me, I'm going to have a nice conversation with these people. But we are back. We are back live. Hopefully everybody's able to come back on. We apologize. I hate when we do this, because I'm sure people get frustrated and they don't want to come back and listen. They're like, okay, y'all ain't got y'all stuff together. But once again, it is not us. It is a Blog Talk Radio issue. And we're going to try to get around that. As soon as Devon is able to join me again, just waiting for him to dial back in. He'll be back with us shortly. So as I was saying, the police officer who was driving the truck that had Freddie Gray in the back of it that caused his death was found not guilty yesterday. It says the acquittal of Officer Cesar Goodson in the death of Freddie Gray is the most significant blow yet to their efforts to hold police accountable after protest and rioting in the troubled city. It says the failure raises the prospect of whether any convictions can be obtained and if State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby should simply give up trying the case in criminal court. Gray's death made his name a rallying cry for the growing Black Lives Matter movement and sparked more outrage nationwide over how black people are treated by police and the criminal justice system. It's unfortunate, but this is what the judge had to say in the case. The judge says there has been no evidence that this defendant intended for a crime to happen. Adding that the state had the duty to show that the defendant corruptly failed in his duty, not just made a mistake. Prosecutor said Goodson was criminally negligent because he didn't buckle Gray into a seatbelt to keep him from slamming into the walls of the van's metal compartment after officers bound his feet and hands. The state also said Goodson exhibited a disregard for Gray's life when he chose not to call a medic after Gray repeatedly indicated that he wanted to go to a hospital. So once again, and then this is what else the judge said. The state failed to prove the defendant knew or should have known that Mr. Gray needed medical care. So what I'm going to assume here is that they didn't have he had a bench trial and not a jury trial. Because the judge is the one who's making these statements, meaning that the judge is making these statements. So I'm going to assume he had a bench trial and not a jury trial, which in itself leads me to believe that something don't sound right. Hopefully Devon can join me back with this and we can talk about this a little bit further. But man, here we go. Once again, you try to go through the process. The legal system, and here's another example where the legal system fails you. But you have to think. Now, yes, they put him in the back of the car with his feet bound and his hands bound, but did they do that with the intent on killing him? Probably not. And probably the issue is, and this is where people had some issues earlier, the issue is that the charges were probably too high. If anything, it should have been involuntary manslaughter. Where you don't, that's you not intentionally killing someone, but they went for manslaughter and murder, which was outside of the realm for the driver, that is. So again, here we go. The process, you know, this guy in Baltimore, the officer who was driving the truck was found not guilty yesterday, so he was released. So they can still go after a civil suit. The family can, you know, they can sue. The Baltimore Police Department, which I'm sure they will, but once again, it's not justice. It's just not justice, and it's unfortunate. But we're gonna move on. I'm gonna keep the show going. Yesterday, and I didn't even know that this had happened. On yesterday, I didn't even know that this had happened. On yesterday. There was a young lady stabbed on. She was stabbed on the Red Line train in Chicago, and apparently, it was in front of witnesses. Let me bring Devon back in. See if I can get him back in. Pastor Wine, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, we got kicked off again, bro. So you got to experience it from the listener standpoint that time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Let me see if I can get LaTanya in. Where is she? Right there. Okay, Ms. Melton, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so... Okay, you got to turn your you got some echo going over there. Okay, that's better. You wanted to talk chime in on the Freddie Gray issue?
Yes.
Okay, what you got for us?
Well, I was just saying, I was thinking the issue was that, yes, the charges are too high for them because Freddie hasn't been the only person been put in the back of a police car. I was just thinking about on my days as a young kid, when you go visit the police officer station as a as a group of students. And so for enjoyment, they did the fingerprinting, they did the lineup, and they put us in the back of the thing. But we weren't cuffed, of course, because we were children. And we were swung all the types around. And so we could have been harmed. And so, like, you know, yes, the charges exceeded what really happened. They did not do it on purpose. Because he couldn't brace himself. As kids, we could not brace. We were bracing ourselves, but we were being whipped all around, and we were just in the parking lot of the police station.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue. And people said that at the beginning when she charged the officers that she should not have went for, I think she went for first-degree murder or first-degree manslaughter, and everybody said she should have went for involuntary manslaughter because it was just – because when you say it's first-degree murder, that means there was some – there was – the intent was to murder. So, yeah, you know. So, anyway, Devon, did you we were talking about the Freddie Gray case right before you got disconnected. They found the first officer, the one who was driving the truck, they found him not guilty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not surprised. Just like the Trayvon Martin thing, the prosecutor should have went for manslaughter. You don't go for, you know, first-degree, second-degree murder.
Yeah.
In his case, you know, I mean, I would have went for second-degree murder because he
That's
pursued
what
him after. Yeah.
Right,
definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, so that's crazy. But we're gonna move on. So I'm sure you saw this yesterday because because I was already gone yesterday. This story with this young lady being stabbed on the green line yesterday. I'm sorry, on the red line in Chicago yesterday. I didn't even know that this happened. And apparently there was people taking pictures, their cell phones. Let me just read what the article says. This is dated 6/18 this morning. It says a person of interest is in custody in connection with the fatal stabbing on a CTA Red Line train on Chicago's South Side. A woman was stabbed in the neck around 12:30 p.m. on a southbound train in the 200 block of West 47th Street. Chicago police said she was pronounced dead at the scene. Police have not yet released her name. Red Line passengers say the suspect asked the woman sitting across from him a question about having children. He asked the young lady a question. She said no. And he got up and started stabbing her. Andrea Patterson, a witness, said she fell toward the floor and he slit her neck. Witnesses say everybody ran for cover and called police. A couple of male passengers tried to help the victim, but the offender still had a knife. He eventually ran off the train and onto the platform where police were waiting for him. First Superintendent John Escalante said, Superintendent, the stabbing was not random. The victim and suspect apparently knew each other, and the incident was domestic in nature. He said witnesses who saw them arguing before the stabbing heard them talking about a child. The man arrested on the train platform was arrested without struggle. Wow.
Sounds domestic to me.
Yeah, had you heard about this before it? Did you hear about this in the news yesterday?
A good friend Danielle mentioned it to me yesterday.
This was
in the evening. I was like, seriously? You know, the fact that people are taking pictures and
yeah,
I was like, wow.
Yeah, and now. There's a bunch of underlying stories because there was on Facebook, people were commenting underneath some of the pictures, and they were saying that he knew the girl, and there is a story. I'm not going to justify the story because I don't know that it's true, so I don't want to carry that information. But they did know each other, and there were some medical issues involved, and that's why he killed her, supposedly. But the fact that, you know, my question is, And the thing that people were talking about is, okay, yes, he had a knife. And I know it's kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. It's a reactionary thing, you know. But once again, it's a knife. And people are like, you know, like when you read the article, it says that, you know, there were two males did try to help, but they didn't do anything because he still had a knife. And I guess the question is, you know, understanding people have families to get home to, but I guess in that situation, what, you know, we can say what we would do in that situation, and everybody can say whatever, but you never know until you actually put into that situation what you'll do. And when it's somebody with a knife, yeah, you know, and when it's somebody with a knife, you know, you're not trying to get stabbed. You're not trying to get killed. Everybody's not carrying a gun.
Smith and Wesson.
Right. Everybody's not carrying a gun because my thinking, you know, put one in his forehead. That's my thinking. But y'all pray for me. But I'm just saying, it's unfortunate, man. But you know, and I guess this thing where, and people were talking about this. They were like, you know, in this day and age, you know, you see somebody in trouble. The first instinct it appears of people today is to pull your phone out, not call the police, but pull your phone out and take pictures and video, rather than help. You know, so it's crazy. But you know, it took me back to, you remember when the towers fell in New York, the terrorists on the plane, all they had was box cutters. That's all they had was box cutters. They didn't have guns. This wasn't a Passenger 57 type moment. They didn't have any of that. They had box cutters, and they were able to take over a plane with box cutters. So you know that just tells me that, you know, people need to, man, it's like you have to be vigilant. And you know what? Yeah, you might get, you know, I guess, and again, it's like, it's hard to say, yeah, you might get cut, but I don't know. It's like, I think people are more about getting the story than they are about, you know, actually trying to help people. And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I would agree. It's that whole bystander mentality. You mm-hmm. know, we'll just sit back and watch and see whatever footage we can get to record, you know, to go back and, you know, share the information, you know. And it's like, mm-hmm. this is why everything else is way more aggressive than we are. And so it's just this whole sit down approach. And, you know, I get it. Nobody wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to be a witness of everything. And so, we're not telling you to go out and be a hero. I mean, but if, you know, you're in a situation, you know, similar to that, it's right. difficult unless you are already in the mind frame of protection mm-hmm. mode. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so
right,
and maybe there's something, maybe this country needs to, I don't know if it will help or it would make things worse, but maybe people need to really consider taking self-defense. That teaches you and it disciplines you to be able to defend yourself, not to go and put a hurting on somebody else. But
right.
in moments like that, you know, some people who know how to, you know, handle a guy with a knife or a guy with a box cutter, I mean, that guy would have been taken down. I mean, considering nobody knew that he was going to, you know, take action like that. But
exactly.
You know, it's
exactly.
a very unfortunate sort of situation. But if, you know, he's far away and he has a knife and he just pulls it out, you know, there's somebody who can actually do something before he hurts everybody else. So, and it's just a really unfortunate case. You know, domestic just doesn't happen in the home. Some people, if you've ever seen it and you roll public transportation or even in your own car, you can see the people in the car next to you arguing. I mean,
that's true. That's
it's
true.
Static, and it looks like I've even seen people swerving on and off the road like they wanted to, you know, like crash the car. And it's like,
yeah.
wow. And you go past and they're fighting, they're arguing. So it's really crazy.
Yeah, it's you know, it reminds me of, there's a show that comes on, I think it's Channel 7. It's called What Would You Do? And they do scenarios just like this. They've done scenarios where you know, it's a domestic situation or it's the threat of a domestic situation, and they're sitting like in a restaurant or a bar, and they set this up. It's all actors, but the people who are sitting at the one set of people at the in the restaurant are not actors, so they don't know that this is all a setup. But they do it just to see how we would react, and you'd be surprised at how many people turn their backs to the situation. And then when the cameras come out, and they say, "Well," and the cameras come out, and they say, "Well, what happened?" And the lady says, and I saw this, and one person said, "I just didn't know what to do. You know, I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do." Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my thing is, it's like, you know, and again, hindsight is 20/20, but all y'all on, and I understand, you know, women doing this, but all y'all got these big old purses and these bags. Y'all could have been swinging on, bro, with 20-pound purses y'all carrying around. Somebody could have swung on that brother or something. And, man, just got him enough. I mean, because, look, he can't cut everybody. You know what I'm saying? He can't cut everybody. He can lunge. But the minute he lunged at one, I mean, unless he a ninja, which I doubt. you know what I'm saying? He can lunge if he want to, but man, after that first lunge, somebody could have been jacking that jaw, something. I'm good.
Yeah, that whole thing about you only got a couple of swings or one swing.
You only got one. You got one swing. It ain't like it was a bat. You know, or a machete. It was a knife. Now, you know, machete takes up a lot of space. You know, a baseball bat takes up a lot of space. But this was a knife. Meaning, dude, you get one jab, and when whoever you jab at, somebody ought to be getting you from the other side. I mean, I'm glad that the police were able to, they were waiting for him at the next stop when he got off the train, because so the people did do right by calling the police. But once again, I'm sure we'll get the full details of the story. I'm to make sure we keep on top of this one, because there's a lot of underlining issues, but we don't have any clarity on exactly whether or not they're true. But there's no excuse. There's no excuse for what he did, but there's some people coming out, you know, with different versions of the story. So, but it absolutely was domestic. It absolutely was domestic. So it's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, true.
Really is. So let's see here. Next thing we got. What time is it? Okay, we're good. Next thing is apparently yesterday, and on the good old Eisenhower Expressway, there was a car was riddled with bullets at about 10:05 last night on the Costner Expressway. It says, police are investigating another expressway shooting in the Chicago area. Bullets hit a car on the outbound Eisenhower Expressway near Costner Avenue. No one was hurt. Illinois State Police reported a report of shots fired just after 10 o'clock. The entire shut down all of the outbound lanes for several hours to investigate. They found several bullet holes in a silver Chevy Monte Carlo and shell case on the road. All lanes were shut down from 10 o'clock until 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. What is going
on? I'm glad I missed that traffic.
What is going on? That's the part. I'm at a loss. Like, are these people in other cars shooting at the other cars, or are they up on the bridge? I mean, what is really going on?
Yeah. I'm just as lost as you are on this one.
And it says state police say suspect may have been driving a white SUV. The motive is unclear. Investigators said it was not a case of road rage. So they know that already, that it wasn't a case of road rage. Yeah, exactly.
My thing is, somebody on the expressway saw something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how they got the whole white SUV part. But that's it. But again, if you saw a white SUV, who knows if they got a plate number? Who knows if the plate was legit? You know, I mean, you don't have a clue. This is ridiculous right now. I mean, it is literally forcing people to not want to drive on the expressway. And we're talking 10 o'clock at night. The Eisenhower is flowing pretty good. It's not backed up, but it's still flowing pretty good at about 10 o'clock at night on a on a Thursday
night.
Oh
yeah. Mhm.
And we're talking outbound, so this would be people going west. So
yep.
Yeah, that's pretty, because you got people getting off work. I mean, that's the same time, you know, you'd be coming back that way on expressway, or even myself back in would be coming that way. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, so I think at this point, I mean, they were smart enough to put cameras up in drug-infested areas. They need to put them on the highway now.
Yeah, but see, now this is where the good old governor would have to step in, Governor Rauner, because see, the state, the expressways are state managed. So this and according to, you know, the state is broke. So where are we gonna get the cameras from?
Can't be too broke. You've been holding that money.
They can't buy nothing. So I'm like, this don't make no sense, man. It's like, yeah, but you're right. They do need to put, mount some cameras up, or do something, because this is. I mean, people can't. You're going to force people. And now watch this. People are either going to take the expressway, or what they're going to do is they're going to have to start taking alternate routes. So that means you got to go all the way out of your way out of fear. Out of fear, you're going to go all the way out of your way to get to your destination. Insane. Insane.
Makes absolutely no sense.
None at all. I mean, you can't – we and this is one of those deals where I don't want to hear about the – you know, somebody shooting because they ain't got no job. Please don't give me that mess. Don't. this ain't got nothing to do with the poverty line and lack of education. No. Because this is happening too often now. The expressway shootings are starting to catch up with the shootings that we almost thinking are normal. It's because it's happening almost every other week at this point.
Insane.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So look, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna take a real quick break. When we get back, we're gonna find out what our national food holiday is today. I'm anxious to see, because I didn't get to see the news this morning when they normally give those out. So I'm anxious to hear what the food holiday of the day is. I'm kind of curious about that. But in the meantime, I'm gonna give y'all a little bit. It is Praise Break Friday. I can't really get loud like I normally am, because I'm sitting in this hotel room right now. I don't want the people outside the room to start hollering, talking about that boy crazy and lost his mind. But I'm gonna give y'all a little bit. It's Judy McAllister, and we'll be right back. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
I gotta learn how to get that squall on. Get that squall on like Judy. Yeah, we are back. We are back, taking our limits off Praise Break Friday. Get a little bit of that high praise in here with Judith Christie McAllister. She be squalling. Boy, I just need to know how to just do it one good time. I have to ask Pat, give me some squalling lessons. Show it, brother. Show me how to squall. All right. So, look, we got this. I was trying to think, was there anything else going on? I'm not even sure. I saw bits and pieces of it. Have you been following this thing with Great Britain and the they breaking away from, I guess, the European group of nations or something, and they want to do their own stuff and all kind of stuff. All I know is the stock market dropped some points because all of my E-Trade alerts went off at about 8 o'clock this morning.
Early this morning.
my alerts went off because I'm like, oh, okay, this is something. But they were like, just everybody be calm. You don't have to make any major changes. Just ride it out. I'm like, oh, okay, if you say so, because I got a little nervous because I was watching it last night and it was on and those people were panicking. You know, I'm like, what in the world? So I'm like, okay, calm down. Yeah, so I'm not sure I didn't feel like reading about that info. That's way too much. I'm in the wrong place to be trying to read that. I need to be at home with on my couch with my own stuff in front of me to be able to read that. But that was good. So hey, wait a minute, man. I ain't talked to you since. We did talk. I was going to say we did talk about Cleveland winning. I just thought about that. We did talk about Cleveland. We talked about that on Monday because it happened on Sunday. I'm just thinking about it. Did we talk about the Cavaliers winning? But I did want to mention, did you see any other parade for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I did not. I missed them.
Okay. So half of the team decided they weren't going to wear no shirts at the parade. So all of the bruhs is out there shirtless. And I'm trying to understand what happened to y'all's clothes. How is it y'all at the parade with no clothes on? Like, where are your championship T-shirts? Where is your, you know, literally, they out there with no shirt. LeBron had on a shirt, but nobody else, like, all these dudes, they out there just straight showing every tattoo that they got. Looked like they went and got some the night before. I mean, just literally, you out there on the floats with no shirts on. I understand you celebrating, and I know it might have been a little bit warm in Cleveland, but, bruh, really? And then you come to the microphone to give your speech, and you still ain't got Cleveland. No shirt on? Man.
That's the home of Cleveland. They said we just do things differently. Yeah.
That's just what they do.
Turn up time, too.
I'm like, this don't make no kind of sense. Like, these cats, I mean, literally every one of them. But it was cool to see. It was good to see the parade. And, man, they had over a million people. A million people. Like, out for the parade.
Wow.
And I'm like, did nobody go to work? I mean, we've seen what Grant Park looks like when they had the Bulls rally and all of that, but a million people. But
yeah,
I thought about it. You didn't hear about it. I was looking around to see. You didn't hear about any type of issues or anything like that, man. These people was just happy. I think they were just ecstatic, man. I mean, but I was looking. I just assumed, you know. I just assumed that there would be something bad, but you know, but there wasn't. I didn't hear there were no bad news reports or whatever. Now I'm gonna tell you just like this here. I told y'all when the Cubs win, Wrigleyville might not ever be the same. I could tell you that.
That whole strip.
Yeah, that whole Wrigleyville will be like gone. Wrigleyville is going to look like one of them scenes from Mad Max, like after the bomb went off. It's good.
Man, it's been a long drought. And
yeah,
they were waiting. They was ready last year.
Yeah. Okay. So before I move on, we're gonna get the food day thing in a minute. But I need to address an issue that came up on Wednesday during the show. So during the show, you know, on Sunday, friend of the show, sister Priscilla McCurtis, had made a few oxtails, and she said, you know, well, Dana, could you stop by, you know, and grab you some or whatever. So, you know, I stopped and got my oxtails and everything, and so she was like, well, so I told, you know, Michael about the oxtails, so he was like, oh, that would be good. So she said, well, why don't you take some and bring them to Michael? So now I told you about these oxtails on Monday. I told you about these oxtails. So on Wednesday, the good silent partner of the show decides to show up at the studio because, you know, Michael couldn't make it because he had a church emergency. So the good silent partner shows up with a container with some oxtails for the good carton.
Mm.
Well, I just thought it was my Christian duty, since he wasn't there and the day was going to go to waste. I just thought it was my Christian duty to just go ahead and take them home with me. I just thought it was the good Christian thing, the good Samaritan thing to do. I saw some oxtails just laying by the side of the road with nobody to help them out, and I took it upon myself to be the good Samaritan and take them oxtails home. And so, you know, and I went on and took them home, and I posted a couple of pictures on the old, good old Facebook. And some folk got upset.
Wow.
I mean, some people was not too happy about the oxtails. I was, you know, I was, as they said, I had the only child syndrome. I was being selfish, all kind of stuff. Just in attack mode. I'm like, I was trying to save the oxtail. Don't nobody want food to go to waste. I mean, who wants to wait? It's people starving all over the world. What I'm going to do, just throw them in the garbage? You can't freeze them. You done already put them in the refrigerator. You done took them out. Now you're going to put them back in there again? No. You can't do that. So I chose to do, you know, what was best for the oxtail. So y'all, you know. Yeah.
You didn't feel like delivering them, huh?
Well, you know, the question was brought to my attention after I ate them. It said, well, the good cardinal sent me a message on Facebook, said, well, you know, I could have met you somewhere and got them. Well, that's true. You probably could have, but see, when I found out that I had the oxtails, you know, nobody reached out to say, hey, where them oxtails at? So, you know, and it was late. It was late in the midnight hour when I was eating them. It was late because I ate them after bowling. It was round about 12:45 that I decided when I...
Just in case.
Man, I was right there in Hillside. You know, he right there in LaGrange, which is right around the corner. You know, had he really been interested in the oxtails, he could have moseyed on over there to the bowling alley and got them. But, you know, I'm just saying. If he really wanted them oxtails, he could have made his way around the corner and got them. That's all I got to say on that subject. I feel like I was justified. Anyway, it is Praise Break Friday, y'all, and we do have this good praise article on praise and this good article on praise and worship that we gonna jump into. Should have just enough time to get through it, barring any interruptions. We should be good to go. Today's article is entitled 5 Ways to Keep Your Worship fresh. Five ways to keep your worship fresh. This article is on Church Leaders. It's on churchleaders.com under the section for articles for worship and the creative. The article is written by David Santisteven. Yeah, David Santisteven. I never get this man's name right, but yeah, I'm going to say Santisteven. But it's by David Santisteven on churchleaders.com. The writer says, looking at problems of modernizing your worship and how you can keep your praise time from growing stale. He says, all we local church worship leaders feel the sinking feeling in our gut when we see another church doing something cooler, hipper, better, or more modern. It says, how can we make our worship experience more up to date? What do we need to change? How can we do what we're doing better? The writer says, I hear this question a lot. How can we modernize our worship? And I believe that's the wrong question. He says, modernize can be a dangerous word. When you modernize something, you make it current, new, follow the trend. But that actually may be the opposite of what you really want, especially if your efforts at modernizing alienate the people you serve. Modern doesn't always equal better. He says, I've noticed this at my church over the last years. As we've added more production elements and pushed the boundaries of our sound, not everyone has been on board. It's an interesting test. We could do the same song in two different ways. One garners a lot of congregation engagement, and the other produces blank stares. Wow. Okay, so I'm following this, and I like this. I like this. You can probably go overboard if when it comes to the worship service. You could probably really go overboard because you could have too much production value, and too much production value will take away from the actual worship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's like I'm all for, you know, like you've been to, I'm sure have you been to Freedom before? You been to Freedom?
Yeah, I've been to Freedom.
Okay. So you know Freedom has that nice theater because it was formerly Hillside Theater. So they have a nice theater and their room is set up perfectly. You know, they have the lighting and everything. It's up there, stage lighting and all that, and that's perfect. But could you imagine during a normal regular church service if you had all that stuff going and then you decide to take it to another level? Well, you know, during praise and worship, we gonna put the smoke machine out.
I'm all for the smoke machine.
I know you are. I know you are.
Look, you see somebody come running through the fog machine like they're running on the football field.
But see, that would take away from now. Here's the deal. I believe in modernizing in increments. I think you slowly but surely can add some new things to your worship without alienating your current congregation. Because it's just like the writer said before, some stuff you'll get a lot of response from, other stuff you will get blank stares from. And I wonder if you do it gradually, like say, okay, you know, I understand and a lot of times it starts with the songs. Or in some cases, it could be the way the song is sung, you know, like your boy Michael W. Smith tore up a whole bunch of songs that used to be good songs until he to quote unquote modernize the song. But this is one of those things where. You know, modernizing, I think, needs to be done in increments. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would definitely say yes, especially if it's different, if that element has been lost and you're bringing it back. So you have the ability to really bring it in sort of full force versus we just going to change all of this and then we just going to bring in this new production of things. Yeah, it's a slow process, just like, you know, stuff on your program. You look at the list and you say what's the most important thing, and then you kind of work to change that. Just small things, you know, stuff that we've seen pastor do. you know,
right.
taking this really sort of, you know, let's just kind of put it out there. Let's just kind of, you know, really will the people into the ideal as well. So that's good. I think it's necessary.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's absolutely necessary to have. And you need to, it's kind of like what we learned at the conference. You need to be constantly evaluating your service. You need to constantly be, you know, checking to make sure things are functioning and that they are well received. Because if they're not well received, but you want to stick to doing it anyway, then what you actually end up doing is you're alienating your congregation. So you need to constantly pay attention to what's going on.
True. The huge word there is engage. Engage.
Yeah.
You know, you start engaging them. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about, as we're going through this article, just thinking about some of the things that, you know, we're currently working towards. And it's more technical. Of course, it's more technical, but it's a solution to some of the common problems that we've been having. And so, you know, we just kind of wait to see how people really kind of dive into that. I'm more of a presentation sort of guy, and so we really see where this goes. But it's like what we've always talked about, you know, your worship. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, man. It's everything. Your worship is how you speak. Your worship is how you live. Your worship is in your singing and in your praising. And so we would just put it in one category, but when your worship is even in your prayers. So
yes,
when we look at that, you know, we have to get people to understand when we say worship is a lifestyle, that means everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you put your hands to, it brings glory to God, and that is His worship.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, as something we've learned, it's a lifestyle. It's not it's not just 20 minutes on Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle. Yeah, it's crazy, but it definitely is a lifestyle. So, and it's something you carry, and it's something people can see. You don't even have to be able to sing; they can see it on you. You can tell. They can tell what type of worshiper you are just by your lifestyle. If you're living a lifestyle where you're constantly reaching out to help other people, where you're living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, when you're living a lifestyle that you put other people's thoughts and their needs before yours. When you're about engaging people, as you said earlier. And it goes back to that word you use all the time. When you're about being intentional. You know, when you're about being intentional, you have a different there's a different glow about you, if I could use that word. There's a different glow about you when it comes to praise and worship. And people recognize that. And what happens is when they see it on you, they start to inquire. And then when they start to inquire, then they say, okay. So then they start following in your footsteps. And then they go into a branch of worship all on their own. And now you start to build a full room full of worshipers versus just these two or three over here who understand what's happening. And that's why it's so necessary that it come from that they see it. They see an example from the head. They see an example from the head on down, because I don't care. You can get William Murphy to come to your church and sing. But if you sitting in your seat in the pulpit or wherever your seat is with your head down or with a blank stare and not, you know, being a part of what's going on, then people are going to be like, well, if pastor ain't in it, then this must not be of God. You know, people need to see you up front leading the worship. They need to see that. Let's keep it going. The writer says, your goal as a worship leader isn't to be creative to the exclusion of engagement. Participation will always win the day. Always. He says, the better question is, how can we make our worship fresh? So here we go. 5 ways to keep your worship fresh. He says, modern feels like we're trying to keep up with the times, comparing ourselves to what is happening around us. Fresh says, what do our people need? What will help engage them in worship on a deeper level? What will help them see their place in the story of God a little clearer? Here are 5 ways to make your worship services fresh. Before I even go there, I like the way he gave definition about modern says just trying to keep up with other people, but fresh says you're actually concerned about what the people need and what you can do to get them engaged. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that is really, really good. That is really, really good. Let's keep it going. So number one, he says, create a rhythm of new songs. Create a rhythm of new songs. He says, when it comes to new songs, pick the ones that appear to have the most upward, declarative, engaging qualities. Not too wordy, yet substantial theology. Catchy, but not shallow. And with that, create a strategic rhythm agreed upon with your lead pastor. Too many new songs and your church won't have the time to engage. Not enough, and services can start to feel predictable. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, not enough, and services can start to feel predictable quickly. I agree, and I like what they said. First thing you said, the second part of this, he says, agreed upon with your lead pastor. So right there, it tells you there needs to be this constant communication with the music department and the lead pastor of the church. Has to be.
Yeah, definitely, because you're really looking at or combining the creativity of the leaders, period, pastor on down. And so,
yeah,
you know, how do we continue to engage the people? How do we grow them in their worship experience here? You know, we ask them those questions, and this person comes back and say, hey, you know, this plan that includes everybody, you know, we can do this for this group and we can do this. It's like, you know, as they talk about hymns, you know, make sure you sing a hymn, because hymn is important to those, you know, from the older generation. For us, it's more a new school, contemporary sort of music.
Right.
Some of us enjoyed some of the old hymns as well. So
that's true.
For you, I mean, it would be crazy to have multi-generational people in your church and you only singing from one generation.
One style. Exactly.
Bad. Yeah.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. Let's keep it going. Number two, the writer says, introduce a new style. He says, if your church is used to the same sound week in and week out, it helps to try something new. The writer says, frame the gospel story in a new way. If you're used to a big guitar sound, try something piano-based or more ambient. If you're used to acoustic worship, try a more elaborate group. Sometimes adding a single new instrument can make a huge difference. And let's just go here. For years, some of the traditional, and I'm talking about the staunch traditional Baptist churches, all you had was a piano, and sometimes you may have had an organ. Traditional Baptist churches fought drums for the longest because they thought drums equated to sanctified churches only. Ain't nothing but sanctified churches got all them instruments, guitars and saxophones and bass players and keyboards and all. And it's like those things add to the worship.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can have overkill. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if you've been to some of the bigger ministries, some of them offer orchestra. So
yeah, they do.
I mean,
they do.
It just kind of depends, and I think because new music is beautiful, it is an expression and an extension of God's creation. You know, why won't we, according to Psalms, the way it says, praise Him on the harp, praise Him on all of the instruments.
Exactly.
So because they had been against it, because they thought, I don't know. I think more so superstition, if anything, hey, we don't use that because that symbolizes, or this came from this tribe used it when they were. It's like, is that what you're using it for, becomes the real question. If you're using it unto the glory of God, how come you can't use it?
Right. That's good. Let's keep going. Number three, be more patient. Uh-oh. He says, I don't mean you need to do 20-minute songs and worship for over an hour. Most worship leaders seem rushed, and this has nothing to do with leaders limiting the worship time to 10 to 15 minutes. No matter how much time you're allowed to lead, you can lead with the presence and patience. Lead with presence and patience, and not rushing through your songs. Allow people space to connect with God. I have to wholeheartedly agree right here. We have a tendency in the church, because of our own time that we put out, that that we feel like, okay, it's time to shut things down. And what we cannot do is, because at that point, we can be guilty of almost of quenching the spirit. Because if the spirit is flowing, we need to allow that thing to work throughout the room. And just because you might be tired of hearing the song, you know, one more verse or one more chorus, that might be somebody's breakthrough. So you have to be astute enough. You have to be astute enough and attuned enough into the Holy Spirit to recognize that, okay, and once again, just like those who sing praise and worship, you have to also be attuned enough to recognize that this ain't about me. So yeah, this might not be my favorite song. This might not be my favorite style of worship, but somebody might be prepared. Might be getting their somebody might be getting ready to get their breakthrough, and I need to allow this to happen because it's not about me. So I need to be okay with what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, just people's hearts when they're set to worship God, you know, when they're set to praise God. If we look at it, even as the Bible talk about it, I would think that when it says that the praises go up, it don't say the blessings come down. It says that God inhabits our praises.
Come on
and
now.
So
come on
with,
now.
With that alone, I mean, I'm not going to try to preach this, but what I'm going to just say this little part is that if God turns around and inhabits the praises of his people, that means that the man of God doesn't necessarily have to come forth because God has come down to begin to speak to the hearts of the people.
Come on now. Come on now.
And so what you see start to happen in the service, you begin to see God's power fall on people. That's why you see some people weeping, they cry. Some people fall to their knees. And so at that moment, that is God speaking the word. He don't need you to come behind and be like, shut it up. You got to hear the word of God. God is ministering to those people right now. You know, but that's a whole sermon. So, but I just get, but yeah, that's what we have to look at. We have to remember that if that's what the Bible says, that's what the psalmist proclaimed, that God would inhabit the praises of his people. That means he comes down off of the throne and he is in that place. As he talked about, the glory filled the temple. God is there and he's speaking to the people. Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff. It's kind of like, remember when we were doing the article from Priest, how a lot of times we tend to rush the invitation. And because, you know, we don't see anybody move in the first 5 minutes, we shut it down. But how he said, sometimes you just have to sit there and just let people meditate for a minute. Let people think about where they are in their life. Let people figure out in their own mind. Don't poke them and prod them. You ain't got to grab them by the hand.
Yeah.
You don't need to go whisper nothing to them. Just let the Holy Spirit work. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. And I know some people say, well, the Holy Spirit will use me. Okay, yeah, I get all that. But sometimes, you know, other spirits will use you too to be the one who blocks them from coming. So just sit back. That's why I do enjoy those churches where the pastor or the preacher gets up to do the invitation and he says every head bowed, every eye closed. Because that way it's like, yeah, you know, okay, everybody else, this ain't got nothing to do with y'all. You say, folk, you keep your head down and your eyes closed. Everybody else, if you feel like today is the day you want to bring your life to Christ, then you come.
Yeah.
You come.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because you need to give them time. You need to give them time. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number four, simplify. Simplify. He says, my favorite moments of corporate worship are when you can hear people singing, not when the band is killing it. He says, there's something about the raised sound of praise that is so moving. In my opinion, it's probably the greatest sound in all the world. Whenever you lead, don't just rock out. create a space for people to sing and lead them in lifting up their voice. Amen. Amen. That's I love that. I love when praise and worship teams or even choirs, whenever they are functioning, whenever they are up during their ministry, I love when they cut the music away and not them sing, but allow the congregation a chance to sing, because it's like, yeah. and that's why early he said don't have overly complicated songs. So, you yeah. know, you want to have stuff that they know. So even though the songs are old to you, your church has gotten used to them. So you sing them and you let them, let me hear you praise God. I know y'all used to us singing, but let me hear you give him some glory. Let me hear you lift his name up. Let me hear you shout hallelujah or whatever the verse is in the song. Because even if you can't sing, the fact that there is that congregational choir going on, it's going to be yeah. wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. That's
absolutely
man.
True. It's good too, because the biggest thing there is what we see is that engaging piece. You know,
yeah.
you've engaged them to go before the throne with you, or take them into a place of worship. And now
mm-hmm.
that they've entered that place of worship, their voices need to be heard. And so, not the musicians overly loud, you know, people who beat the drums way too loud, you know,
right.
it drowns out people. It even drowns out the praise team. And so
it does.
To hear them and to hear them sing in sync on one
yep.
accord, it sounds like one voice.
That's right.
And so that's amazing that when you can get people to start singing, not just being spectators, but they become supporters and they get involved.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep it going. Number five. Dig deep into tradition. Dig deep into tradition. Uh-oh. Let me see what this says. He says, freshness can come in unique forms. Sometimes it's not new techniques, but old traditions that make your worship more real and fresh. The best worship times for me aren't when it feels new, but when ancient realities come alive in new ways. So he says, I get what he's saying. He's saying, you know, yeah, you can have your new songs, but sometimes when you go back to one of those, like you said about the hymns, and especially
yeah.
if it's been rehearsed and it's been done the right way, you can't help but feel something. You can't
oh,
help
yeah.
but wonder, and you always notice it when it's being sung, and you look over around the church. And you'll see one of those old mothers in the church, one of them old deacons in the church, or the elders of the church, and somebody get excited because you know what it means to them. It might not have the same meaning for you, but you can praise God for what it means for them. So you can't be so quick to want to shut it all down. My only issue has always been is that if you're going to do those songs, there is a way, as the Bible says, there is a way that is right. there is a way that is right now, and I think we got it. If you're gonna do one, then
yeah.
you know, do it right, and I mean, just go all in on it. That's the, I mean,
yeah.
if you're
yeah.
gonna do it,
yeah, if yeah, man, it's no point in you know, halfway praising God. Why not just give him your heart and your song?
Yeah.
You know, when you take people back and they hear songs like "I Exalt Thee, O Lord,"
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
and it's really
yeah.
simple. And so with stuff like that, I think too, being conscious of picking even old school or hymnal music that really speaks to the hearts of the people. You know,
mm-hmm.
because when we look at what those things were saying in the lyrics and the content there, I mean, it was all about God and Him dying on the cross and what He paid. And so a lot of times a lot of modern stuff that we see now, it's those writings have changed tremendously. And I think a lot of that music kept them grounded, and it can keep even us grounded today. So it's music that will probably last us a lifetime. And so yeah, that traditional is just like you said, there is a way, you know, there can be a way to create a blend and a sound,
yes,
you know, that we all can engage in, because when we see the older group of people singing it that way, they're off key, and then you got one or two people singing, and then you got somebody extra loud. Let's do this again like we're a group of people, just like Response to Reading. You know, people all over the place. No, we should be one voice.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. And a lot of that comes with, and it's one thing that I know is not mentioned in the article about keeping the worship fresh, but I'm going to assume that it is implied in the article, is preparation. Preparation.
Yeah.
Preparation, preparation, preparation. You cannot expect to have a worship service that is presented excellently to the Lord and you have not prepared for worship. And when I mean preparation, I don't just mean rehearsal. I mean preparing yourself.
Your heart
for worship, ready to receive whatever God is going to pour in, but not only that, ready to pour out everything for worship. If you don't prepare yourself, that's what that whole consecration period is before Sunday school, when the teachers pray, before church service starts, the choir is supposed to pray, the praise team is supposed to pray. Before we went to the pulpit, we used to pray together. It was that always preparing yourself for worship, and then the process was, and then even me, I know before, and I know you do it too. If you're up to preach, you know, when it's time to preach, you pray. Even if you whether you do it sitting there quietly or you step out of the pulpit and you just go pray in the back for a second, you always want to prepare yourself to be like, okay, God, whatever is in me, let me pour it all out today.
Yeah.
Let me leave it as athletes say, let me leave it all on the field. So let me leave it all on the altar today when I come up here. Whatever I got, whatever you've given me to say to your people or to sing to your people, let me leave it all behind this podium or on this microphone or wherever I am. Let me leave it all here. And when you prepare that way, then God can use you. But when you just show up and say, well, I don't know what we're going to do, but this is what we're going to do. Then it's like, okay, now you're leaving it to chance. Now you're putting it in the hands, instead of putting it in the hands of God, you're putting it in the hands of man. And anytime you put something in the hands of man, it's going to be flawed.
Yeah, that's true. And
yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, that's that important period time, you know, if everybody in there, perspective ministries of praying, and then you know, as the people that, you know, they come in and they've already prayed before they got there, and hopefully they heard a couple of songs of praises and worship, and maybe even sung them. So, you know, that's what I do on Sundays. But then I know people on Sundays, they really want to maintain a certain level of silence. And for them, it's meditation. They don't turn on any TVs. They won't listen to any music.
That's true.
You know, so everybody kind of has their own little way of doing it. Me, look, I wake up with the joy of the Lord, and I'm singing praise all the way till I get to the church house.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's
I can't
me.
Do the.
That's me.
I'm with you 100% on that one. I can't do the silent. I don't. Man, I think my hair would explode because you know what? That's the time where it's like I want to make sure I'm solely focused on God. That's why it's like I only need to hear His music.
Yeah.
Let me hear the music that's been geared that's been created and geared to please Him. Let me not hear all this craziness or be sitting back listening to nothing. Because then it's going to be this whole thing about, you know, that's when stuff starts to creep in your brain. And that's when you start getting that messy stuff. And it's like, oh, no, this ain't going to, this ain't good.
Yeah.
This ain't good at all.
And I think, too, sometimes people who you find in those extremely serious modes, they've taken themselves too seriously and they've relied more on themselves than the Spirit of God.
Yep.
So you have to be really careful, like, you know, I'm so serious and I got to remain extremely focused until you're really locked in like a radar, you know, and God is like, look, you don't have to be locked in like a radar. What I've spoken to you, just speak it to the people.
Exactly. That's all you got to do.
So,
I mean, it's one of those things where you got to allow, you have to allow the Spirit of God to move. Because see, what will happen is, it's just like you know, you could now you're depending solely on self. And
yeah,
just like you said,
yeah.
now you're depending solely on self, and because you're depending solely on self, when something goes wrong, then you're gonna have the nerve to turn around and be like, well, God must didn't want me to succeed today, and it ain't got nothing to do with it. Ain't got nothing to do with it. That was because you excluded God. You did what Moses told them not to do. He's like, you know, as long as the ark is with us, then I know we gonna win, because I know that's God with us. But then, no, you gonna go to battle without the ark? You go ahead. and let me know how that work out for you.
The Lord should always go before you. If you've seen it in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, the Lord should always go before us.
Always. Always.
Yeah, so that's why I love that scripture that talked about how we acknowledge God in all our ways. We're just simply putting him ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
right.
He
will direct our path. So, man, I love it, man. It's great. I'm excited. We haven't really had worship in the place. And so, prayerfully, you know, I've been talking to you about some things that we've been putting together, because, you know, it's you know, we have to break the barriers that exist sometimes. And you got to use what you have, you know, as it relates to worship. We need to have some worship in that place. And so I'm just trusting and believing God that taking another step of faith and doing some things that he's made me creative in to make sure that we get a worship when it comes to music and singing, that element of worship is a part of our weekly service.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. It has to be, and it takes some time, but you have to be willing to invest in it. And people, especially us, and when I say us, meaning African Americans, we are, we have, what is it? We are musically inclined by nature. I think it's just something that God inherently put in us. So it's not that it's not in us. The problem comes is, how do we draw it out, and how do you create a culture, not an atmosphere, but a culture where it's okay? Yeah, because as we learned, you know, you can set an atmosphere, but atmospheres change, and they change all the time.
But cultures
become permanent. And if you can set a permanent culture, then your church becomes a culture of praise and worship. So whatever is the prevalent culture, whatever the prevalent thing is in your church, so whether it be excellence or mediocrity, that is the culture. And if you don't set things in motion to change those, then those things remain prevalent, and you end up with generations of one or the other. Because when you have a culture of excellence, mediocrity cannot exist. Every time it shows up, it gets ran off. Like, no, bro, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. No, you can't do that
no
over here.
No place for it.
There ain't no place for it over here. So either get right or get gone, because we can't do that here. And I mean that's just how, you know, God operates, and he wants excellence. Let me get to the last part of this. The very last part of this, he says, so rather than doing a new song, revive an old one. Rather than introducing a new loop, try an ancient responsive reading. Rather than a louder song, try a scriptural spoken word. Wow. So he says, how do you keep your church, how would you keep your church fresh or worship fresh for your church? So that's great. But you hit the nail on the head. It's a learned environment, and it's just like breaking, how we always talk about, you know, trying to break spiritual curses. Well, a lot of times the reason we can't break those curses is because we don't recognize that the curse might be in our tradition. We don't recognize the curse itself might be in a tradition we're trying to maintain that God only intended us, like with the children of Israel. when he gave them what he gave them, it was only intended to get them to survive. It was never contended. It was never intended for them to stay there. They would never. It was never intended for them to stay wandering in the desert. He gave them sustenance to keep them in the desert because he knew he was taking them somewhere else where they would need manna from heaven. But we want to continue to live off the manna. Oh, well, this is it right here because this is what God gave us. So this is what we, so we keep looking for that when God is demanding greater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. So
yes. That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, what you got going on this weekend, Doc? We got about 3 minutes left. What you got going on?
Let's see. This weekend, just doing some running around, getting some things together logistically.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, spending some time with the guy and family.
Okay.
Stuff. That's it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, you know, we're celebrating, Kingdom Baptist Church is celebrating, started last night actually, celebrating their our 44th year anniversary. It's the church anniversary this week. So it started last night. I think Pastor Turk preached last night. Pastor Stephen Spiller will be preaching tonight. And then they'll conclude on Sunday with Pastor, I think it's Wilcoxon is his name. He's from up north, from North Chicago. I forget the name of his church, but he'll be closing out the services on Sunday morning, or I believe Sunday afternoon.
Okay, yeah, so you're going to have a Sunday afternoon service.
I believe we have a Sunday afternoon service, I think. I could be wrong, but I believe we do because this guy just preaching. He's coming. He's a pastor. Yeah, he's not leaving his church to come preach. So, yeah. So we have a Sunday afternoon service. So, yeah, I'll definitely be back. So I'll get back Saturday evening, depending on what time the tournament ends. We definitely, you know, I'll be in for the closing out ceremony. But we're going to get out of here. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. Right now, God, for just who you are. We thank you for everything that you continue to do for us. We just thank you for your protection that you keep around our families, God, and those who we talk to on a daily basis, God. Right now we ask that you would continue to keep your hedge of protection around our loved ones. God, I thank you right now for traveling grace on the way here, God. Thank you for this wonderful team of people that you've surrounded me with, God, here at TTLO Radio. Even though we're all separated right now, God, we're still able to function, which just gives me further confirmation that this is all about you and not about us. So right now, God, we just thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you continue to do. We ask that you would bless all of our listeners right now, God, all those numbers on the sideline over here and all those listening via Blog Talk Radio. We thank you. We bless your name. We lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, look, y'all, we out of here.
Amen.
See y'all Monday. Stay blessed.
Peace.
I think you know this little song. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Like you do every morning, gently rest upon my heart.